Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estácio's conference call to discuss the second quarter of 2014 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.estacioparticipacoes.com.br/ir, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Rogério Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Melzi, you may proceed.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call for our second quarter 2014 results. Here with me is our CFO, Virgilio Gibbon, who will help me with the presentation, as well as our IR team. At the end of the presentation, we are going to take some questions. We begin with slide number two for our presentation, which is also available on our website. When we look at the key indicators of the second quarter of this year, we see that once again, we were very successful in maintaining significant growth. Our on-campus student base grew by almost 19% in the same shops concept, while our distance learning student base grew by 35%. As a result, our total student base grew 22.2% over the same period of the previous year. This solid performance of the student base, together with the rise in the average on-campus ticket, brought significant growth in net revenue, which totaled 589.1 million reais in the second quarter 2014, up 32.8% over the second quarter 2013. EBITDA reached 106 million reais for an expressive growth of 59.2% with a margin of 18%, up 3 percentage points over the same period of the previous year. Our net income reached 86 million reais, an increase of 84.2%, reflecting directly in our earnings per share, which stood at 0.29, an increase of 81.2% over the same quarter last year. Including the adjustment for the new FIES schedule for the repurchase of certificates, adjusted operational cash flow came to 97.5 million reais, up by 58.7 million reais when compared to 2013. In addition, this quarter, we saw the approval of the UNICEB acquisition, both by CADE and by our own shareholders, and the subsequent announcement of the approval of a medicine program at the campus. We also announced the acquisition of IESAM, an institution headquartered in Belém, Pará State. Yesterday, we also announced the acquisition of Literatus in Manaus, marking our entry into another state in the northern region of Brazil. We will come back to this acquisition at the end of the presentation. Estácio also received the authorization to offer approximately 15,000 seats, 7,000 of which in the north and northeast regions under the second Pronatec program in 2014, which allows the students to take vocational courses backed by the government. We've also seen a relevant increase in the number of graduate students, and we've been very active to build a strong portfolio in the corporate solution segment. At the end of the presentation, I will come back to some important points on our strategy and also on our outlook for 2014. In brief, here at Estácio, we continue to grow with balance and a lot of discipline, patience, and focus on the returns generated for shareholders and stakeholders in general. Now I'd like to turn it over to Virgilio, who will detail our results for the second quarter of 2014.
Thank you, Melzi. Good morning, everyone. To begin, I'd like to call your attention to slide number three, where we will show our operating performance. In the first graph on the left, we have our student base in the first quarter of 2014. We closed the quarter with 383,000 students, up 22.2% over the same quarter of the last year. Excluding the acquisitions, made in the past 12 months, assessed in Florianópolis, the same shop student base grew 21.9% over the same period of the previous year. Our same shops on campus student base reached 302.7 thousand students at the end of June, up 18.9% over the same period last year, reinforcing the sustainable growth trend in the student base. The distance learning student base was up 35% over the same period of the previous year, to a total of 79.4 thousand students. The graph on the side shows net operating revenue up 32.8% over second quarter 2013 to a total of 589.1 million reais with the increased student base and the rise in the average on campus ticket. In the table on the lower part of the slide, we can see that in second quarter 2014, the average on-campus ticket grew by 11.8%, in line with the increase seen in the first quarter 2014 and above inflation for the year, reflecting our continued capacity to pass through prices sustainably. Again, for the same reason described in the previous quarter, this result is explained by our policy of increasing prices above inflation in some markets, as well as an effect of the mixed debt, among other factors, derives from the choice of FIES students to enroll in courses of higher value added, especially engineering and health programs. The average distance learning ticket fell 2.3%, primarily due to significant organic growth in grad students' base, up 56% this quarter. In addition, we saw the recurring effects that we have been discussing for a few quarters. Our policy of repositioning the price of distance learning in some markets, in addition to the increased base of students in EAD+, which dilutes the curriculum of the course and, as a result, the price of an additional two semesters. Moving on to slide number 4, we see the vertical analysis of our operational costs and expenses. The second quarter, the cash cost improved 1.5 percentage point in margin over second quarter 2013 as a result of 1.1 percentage points in rents, with dilution gains on this line reflecting a more comparable baseline of our first quarter rentals when we were not as efficient in this line. 0.6 percentage point in the third part services line with the insource of security services, with an offset in the personal and charge line. The 0.2 percentage point rise in personal and charge below that we have seen in recent years can be explained by the following reasons. The payment of 8 million reais in bonuses in the second quarter 2014, above the amount paid last year, to teachers, support staff, and management of units for 2014 first semester meeting goals. The cost of Pronatec personnel, which began to be booked in April of 2014 and represents a total of 3.2 million reais in the second quarter, which didn't exist in second quarter 2013, while the revenue was only partially recognized during the same period. The continued effect of the insource of security service, representing 1.1 million reais in the second quarter, and that did not exist last year. In second quarter 2014, selling expenses represented 13.7% of net revenues, down 1.1 percentage point with the 1.5 percentage point rise in the publicity line with the anticipation of some campaigns so that they would not coincide with the World Cup schedule. This loss more than offset the 0.4 percentage point gain in the PDA line. There is a reflecting organic improvement in this line. In the second quarter, G&A expenses represented 11.7% of net revenues, a 2.3 percentage points improvement over the same period of the previous year. This evolution was a result of the 1.7 percentage point in personnel, as well as a reversal of the provision for contingencies line. This reversion was due to a labor lawsuit that is being executed and was restated. With this re-evaluation of the lawsuit, there was a reversal of 2.8 million reais in the provision. On slide 5, we see the growth in our EBITDA. In the second quarter of 2014, our EBITDA reached 106 million reais, up a significant 59.2%, crowning a quarter of excellent results for an EBITDA margin of 18%, 300 bps over second quarter 2013. We maintained the same pace of expansion of margins that we saw in the first quarter, resulting in more than 10 quarters of sustainable growth without major spikes, in line with our expectation. Our net income reached a total of 86 million reais, up 84.2% with net margin of 14.6%, expanding 4.1 percentage point over last year. Moving on to slide number 6 now, we have our accounts receivable. The number of net student receivable days, including receivables and net revenue from FIES, fell 3 days over second quarter 2013 and 8 days over first quarter 2014, falling to 76 days. Excluding FIES net revenue and FIES receivables from the calculation, our days of receivable ex-FIES was at 89 days, practically stable over the first quarter and up 5 days over second quarter last year. Moving on to slide 7, our FIES accounts receivable line in second quarter was 128.6 million reais, down 18.6 million reais over the previous quarter, in line with the normalization of the process for prepayment of contracts concentrated at the start of the academic year. FIES carry forward credits presented an increase of 18.8 million in the second quarter, reaching 82.4 million reais. It should be noted that the Ministry of Education formalized a new schedule of monthly repurchase auctions, which has been in practice since the end of 2013. According to this new timeline, collection related to the repurchase of certificates has happened only in the first days of the following months, such that the balance of our accounts receivable is higher at the close of the quarter. By the end of second quarter 2014, we had 81.5 million reais on FIES certificates to be cashed in July. Slide number 8 highlights the aging of our receivables and agreements, which remains healthy in the second quarter. Thanks to continually strict policies for renegotiations of debt, this quarter we had only 7% of total receivables originated for renegotiations with students. The percentage of bills more than 60 days overdue among renegotiation receivables represents 28% of total agreements, that is, only 2.5% of our receivable portfolio. Finally, slide number 9 shows our quarterly cash flow. On this slide, we show the key lines in our cash flow in the quarter, considering that FIES repurchase auctions in December in the amount of 44 million reais, in March in the amount of 63.1 million reais, and in June in the amount of 81.4 million reais were received in the respective months. Adjusting the operating cash flow, assuming that the buyback auctions amount received in April and July had in fact been received in March and June, totaled 97.5 million reais, a 58.7 million reais improvement in the same period. Considering the adjustment to the new FIES timeline, operating cash flow before adjusted capex was 129.1 million reais, up 60.4 million over the same quarter of the previous year. Now, I'll hand it back to Melzi for his conclusions and final considerations.
Well, thank you, Virgilio. Moving on to slide number 10, we will talk a little about our most recent acquisition, Literatus, in the city of Manaus. Part of our medium and long-term strategy is to have a physical presence in all the states in the country, as well as in the most important cities in terms of economic and academic potential. In this context, every time we enter a new city, and especially in a new state, we get closer to our strategic goal. So we are overjoyed that Literatus has become part of Grupo Estácio. In addition to playing a strategic role in our company, Literatus has a series of strong points that make us even more enthusiastic about the acquisition. After all, Manaus is one of the most important markets in Brazil and was Estácio's number one priority in terms of entering in new cities. For this reason, we have been studying the best way to enter the city for a long time, and we are happy we ended up getting there through such a good asset. Moving on to slide number 11, Literatus received excellent evaluations from the Ministry of Education, with a General Course Index, IGC, rating of 2.4 44, equivalent to a score 3 in a scale from 1 to 5, offers 22 undergrad programs in several areas, and has 4.8 thousand students with capacity for almost 15 thousand students. Finally, the team we have found in the institution, both in the teaching and in the administrative staff, is excellent, which will allow us to attract more talents to Estácio. We are paying 48 million reais for Literatus, partially in cash and partially through the assumption of debt and liabilities in general. Data related to the business plan will be presented at a shareholders meeting to be specifically called for this proposed later on. Now moving to slide number 12, we will talk a little bit about where we are now and also about our perspectives. At the end of 2012, we decided to create a new vision for Estácio, looking at the year 2020 as our long-term horizon. After a deep and very thoughtful process, we ended up with a vision that Estácio would like to be recognized as the best option in post-secondary education for students, employees, and shareholders. In other words, we want to get the best return rates for the three stakeholders that invest more heavily in our company, our investors, our students, and our employees. We believe that seeking better rates of return for these three stakeholders, which in the beginning may seem a little contradictory, we will slowly create a virtuous cycle where actions to serve one stakeholder will reinforce the others. We know, however, that to reach this vision and thereby the kind of leadership we aim, we need to be very disciplined and also to respect some very important strategic drivers, including 1, the continuous search for balance between these forces. 2, the adoption of a gradual pace of expansion, which will allow us not only to maintain, but rather to raise our standards of quality while we deliver such a growth. And 3, the construction of elements of differentiation with long-term effects, which will certainly help us add value for our stakeholders, but that in turn requires significant time, energy, and discipline in the short term in order to become a reality. In this context, we're directing our actions so as to fit within these desired parameters, always looking at their long-term effects. Thus, when you talk about balancing forces during this quarter, we can mention the balancing between another set of very strong financial results with several other non-financial initiatives, such as the organization of the second Estácio Day for the financial community, and subsequently, the first Estácio Day for journalists, media agents, and community leaders, as well as our ongoing projects focusing on increasing our service levels and on improving the relationship with our students, and the countless visits, roundtables, and communication efforts with our employees. In this context, I'd like to let you know that we spent the last two entire days in meetings with 1,100 teachers and coordinators of all Estácio units to discuss issues that included our academic model, R&D, and innovation. We also naturally took advantage of this opportunity to keep spreading our word and therefore building a strong organizational culture. At the same time, when you talk about keeping a gradual pace of expansion, we are very glad to have yet again grown by more than 50% and increased the EBITDA margin by nearly 300 bips this quarter. However, we know that if we want to maintain this pace in a sustainable manner, we need to keep sowing new seeds for the future of our organization. On this front, I would like to emphasize the completion of UNICEF's acquisition with the subsequent approval of its medicine program. Estácio's participation in the third Prodotech program, the acquisitions in the northern region, our steady growth in the grad segment, and also on our potential corporate training clients portfolio, and the projects for the expansion of our campuses and distance learning operations as evidence of our concern with continuing to create value in a healthy and sustainable way over the coming years. Finally, when we talk about building elements of differentiation with long-term effects, we are aware that we have to take advantage of this moment, which is marked by excellent results and stable operations, to raise Estácio standards so as to be able to present ourselves as a more complete player in the future. In this scenario, we can highlight that our recently inaugurated Espaço Nave, which aims to foster innovation, is fully up and running and has just launched the Nave Startup Program, a startup pre-accelerator created by Estácio to encourage entrepreneurship among our students and alumni. We also have our corporate university, called Educare, operating at a good pace, already gathering faculty and staff in our new space dedicated to personal development and the dissemination of our culture. As for R&D, we are honored with the first place in the CWTS Brazilian Research Ranking 2014, developed by the Center for Science and Technology Studies, a respected interdisciplinary institute of the traditional Leiden University in the Netherlands. We continue our branding project, defining the creation of an integration committee that will spend the next years working directly with the executive board to build the attributes that shall be perceived by our stakeholders by 2020. We keep pushing innovation into our academic model, this time with the adoption of the Bring Your Own Device technology to allow our students to access Estácio's content and systems through any platform. We are also running the final tests with our own touchscreen TV, a 55-inch TV set equipped with a series of special equipment that will be implemented in our nearly 4,000 classrooms to help with the implementation of the 2020 academic model. Before finishing our presentation, I'd like to briefly talk about our admission and renewal processes for the second half of 2014, which are still in progress. In both segments, on-campus and distance learning, KPIs continue to suggest significant growth for the coming semesters. The number of applicants, students who apply to participate in the selection process on the website, increased substantially over last year, 20% up in the on-campus segment and 50% up in the distance learning segment, both on a same-shop basis, excluding acquisitions. However, due to the decline in the conversion rates during the World Cup, intake growth is unlikely to keep pace with the increase in applicants, as verified in the last semesters. In the on-campus segment, it is worth highlighting that we also faced certain specific bottlenecks, both in terms of infrastructure and authorized seats, which we are working to overcome as early as 2015. In this contest, we expect the intake on-campus segment to grow between 4 and 8% over the last year, while the distance learning segment should move up by 15 to 20%. We'd like to remind you, however, that unlike in recent semesters, the entire process is behind schedule due to the World Cup, so these projections are subject to increased volatility compared to normal conditions. Please also bear in mind that these figures do not include the recently announced acquisitions of UNICED, ESM, and Literatus, which should add students to this base. However, the resulting carryover of substantial growth recorded in recent semesters and the gradual improvement in our dropout rates indicate a significant expansion of the student base. We expect the total on-campus student base to grow between 14 and 16% and the distance learning base to increase between 15 and 20%, most on a same-shop basis over 2013. I'm sorry about that, between 20 and 25% for distance learning, not 15 and 20, between 20 and 25%. Finally, it is worth noting that UNICEF's intake should grow between 80 and 100% over the same period last year. Although the number of students in absolute terms is still modest compared to Estácio, we are convinced that the substantial growth underlines the potential that may result from this acquisition, especially after we can actually implement the management practices that have led Estácio to record excellent growth rates and strong margin expansion in recent years. We believe these figures will allow us to generate great results in the second semester, allowing us to close 2014 on a high note. In addition, thanks to yet another record number of NAEM registrations in 2014, we can already envisage a very promising 2015 for Estácio. Well, that was our presentation. We will now be taking some questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star 2. So now, our first question comes from Bruno Giardino from Santander. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I know that this subject was widely discussed in the Portuguese conference call, but is it possible to know on a qualitative basis how much of the limitations on campus student intake growth was due to the World Cup effect and how much was due to the lack of capacity in some of our campuses? And also, do you think the marketing expenses could continue high in the third quarter as a way to boost the final stage of student intake?
Well, Bruno, let me take that and then Virgilio can compliment. I'm sorry about my voice, but I definitely got a flu here. Anyway,
no problem.
As for the second question, no, I think we are going to close the year in the same range for marketing expenses as we did over the last years. This is between 5 and 5.2, 5.3% of net revenues. This is something strategic to us and shouldn't change this year. So see that as something seasonal, okay? As for your first question, to give you an idea, we are very scientific when it comes to our intake process here in Estácio. So we know how many students we want to have by the end of the cycle, so we work backwards. We know that in order for us to have a certain number of students, we will need a certain number of applicants, right? And I think the important piece of news in this call is that the interest in Estácio keeps really, really high. We're talking about an increase in the number of applicants, close to 20%, and in distance learning, you know, bigger than 50%. But then we have the conversion rates. We need to transform these applicants into students. To give you an idea, in a normal situation, out of 100 students who apply with us, roughly 55 to 60% show up to take their admission test, 55 to 60. But during the World Cup, this number was below 40. And obviously that ended up creating a problem to us because the day Brazil lost in the World Cup, that 7-1 to Germany match, the day after that, this number started moving up very quickly again. So right now we have a huge backlog, you know, a ton of applicants, and we are trying to convert these students, into students. But there are some limitations. For example, the number of students that can take a test every day, you know, systems limitation. Even the students, some of them will end up giving up because they may think that it is a little bit late. So I think we have a great opportunity in our hands to try to increase these conversion rates from now until the end of the presentation. But, I mean, it's early to tell whether we're going to be successful or not. That's the reason we are giving this range between 4 and 8%. We may surprise, yes, eventually. But it wouldn't be responsible, you know, to go anything beyond that at this point in time. Also, bear in mind that the students that eventually we are not going to be able to convert in this semester will likely be converted in 2015 because they will be part obviously of our backlog, and our teams will work hard to make these people come back to the university at the beginning of 2015. So this is the reason I'm very enthusiastic about our growth perspectives when I look at the number of applicants, and not exclusively at the number of new students. Another important piece of information as for infrastructure, what happened was that in the beginning of the year, when we saw that the World Cup could actually bring some problems to us, we decided to try to, you know, go or try to speed up our admission cycle in the beginning of the year. So to give you an example, in many cities in Brazil where we have constraints of seats because of the Ministry of Education's authorizations, instead of waiting for or splitting the admission cycle into two semesters, which is usually what we do, we ended up bringing 100% of the authorized students in the first semester. This was very much to guarantee that we could have a nice revenue throughout the entire year, and I think it worked really successfully. But now, obviously, we faced some kind of constraints in these cities. At the same time, we did have some kind of infrastructure constraints because, again, we keep growing and growing and growing. And as much as we have a lot of expansion happening right now in a lot of campuses in Estácio, I've never signed in for, you know, that many expansion projects in Estácio since I'm here. The truth is that there is some delay, and I think we shall be ready for the beginning of next year. So I don't think this will be constraints for the beginning of 2015. I think we shall be ready to go at the end of the year, and there will be a lot of room for improvement at the beginning of next year. Last piece of information. The moment we notice that it will be difficult for us to keep growing at 15% or 20% despite the growth in the number of applicants, we work a little bit more with prices. So in the on-campus segment, for example, we ended up increasing prices by more than 4%. This is between the first and the second semester, which is something really unique. I think we've never done that in the last years in Estácio. And the reason we did that this time is because since you are facing constraints, you may allow yourself to make some adjustments in in the price variable. So, I mean, putting all this together, a student-based growth of, 15-16% on campus, 20% distance learning, price increase, improvement in terms of dropouts and everything else, contact, new campuses, acquisitions, I think we have room to deliver an outstanding second semester as well.
Okay, very clear. Thanks. To confirm, where this problem of lack of capacity concentrated in your institutions with college status, right? And I don't think you experiment these problems in the universities and in the university centers, right?
You are absolutely right. Pretty much, except for medical programs, for sure, you're right about that.
Okay. And just a follow-up from the Portuguese call as well. You mentioned that one of the institutions that had new learning centers approved by the Ministry of Education was owned by UNICEF's previous owners. Is that right? And if it is, what's the name of this institution?
Yeah, we do have a call. It's an option, right? When we made the acquisition of UNICEF, some assets didn't come together, and we decided to have a call. We are making this decision, right now. Eventually, we are going to do that, but there are some points to be covered here. But the truth is that one of these assets located in Curitiba with the name of Dom Bosco has just approved a new distance learning operation there with, I think, 15 learning centers. So if we are to exercise this option, yes, we are going to increase our distance learning capacity as well.
I think it were 12, but okay. Just to confirm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial *1. And if at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing *2. Our next question comes from Ruben Couto from Brasil Plural. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone, thank you for taking my question. It's actually a quick one regarding Literatus acquisition. Talking about the amount paid for the institution, I know this is not the best valuation metric to look into, but it's the only one that we have, and we are talking about a 10,000 EV per student. And as it also happened with the ESN acquisition, I know in that one you had the whole thing related to real estate purchasing as well. But I guess that going forward, are we going to see these new acquisitions in the ballpark of 8,000 to 10,000 EV students going forward, or was there something specific about these two that made you guys comfortable of going a little bit higher in terms of how much you are willing to pay? And how are you guys thinking about going forward? I mean, in your next upcoming small acquisitions in this pattern of like you like to call a faster organic growth, how much are you willing to pay? Again, I know this is not the best evaluation metric, but just to give us a little bit color on how we could model this going forward. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for your question. You're right about that. We've abandoned this metric because this is not a metric whatsoever, right? It's wrong by definition to make this kind of calculation. To give you an idea, and I think we gave this information, they have an authorization to go up to 15,000 students. So shall we divide by, 4,800 students or by 15,000 students? And the answer is that will depend a lot on our own capacity to fill these authorized seats, which I believe, given our track record and all our capabilities, I think we are going to get there at some point. So whenever we make acquisitions, we go deep into our analysis, and we need to make sure that we are going to be able to, add our own capabilities to whatever they bring along with the acquisition to build all this value. When we announce these acquisitions, we know they are subject to an approval because we bring all of them to our shareholders meeting, and then we open our business plans, we show the EBITDA, we show our projections, for the growth in this. In these acquisitions, and I think again, as we look at what happened in the past, I think we are delivering very, very interesting returns to these acquisitions. The IRR we are experiencing in these acquisitions is usually above 20%. In this case, when we bring to the shareholders meeting, you see that it is close to 25%. So this is the kind of number I am interested in, really, not how many students are coming with the acquisition, but rather, what is the kind of returns? And again, this is conservative by definition, right? The kind of returns you can generate on that asset. This is one of the most important acquisitions we made in the past. Mm-hmm. It is a new state with very interesting perspectives for growth, and which we believe Estácio's brand will play a very interesting role because of the kind of attributes we bring with our brand according to the kind of research, to the research we made in the city. So to add on that, this strategy of entering new cities, new states, is at the core of our long-term strategy. If you follow us, you need to understand that, we want to be physically present in the most important Brazilian cities in all of the 27 states, because this is how we are going to build a powerful brand, a national brand for education, to leverage other segments we are going, to play. For example, the distance learning segment. So every time we make a move, entering a new city, entering a new state, through a nice acquisition like Literatus, we celebrate here because we like to look at that as a puzzle. We are putting a lot of pieces together, and when they are finally together, maybe by 2017, 2018, we are going to have a unique company spread all over the country, connected to all the societies in the Brazilian, environment, with a very strong brand, very well managed, in a segment, in a scenario, in a contest, that if it's still favorable in terms of demand growth, will boost our earnings and we'll make everybody happy about the statue.
Perfect, that was very clear. Just a quick question on this. For your 25% IRR that you're expecting for Literatus, how much do you expect in terms of maturation until you reach this 14,000 full seats? How long does it take to reach there? I mean, in this business plan of yours, how long does it take to get there?
We usually study 5 to 6 years. I can tell you, cannot tell you whether they're going to fill all the 15,000 seats in 5 or 6 years, but I mean, you're going to grow a lot over this period, and also you're going to improve the margins because we bring a lot of innovation, we bring a lot of tools. Thinking about the online content, alone,
yeah.
How much better that can add just by replacing, on-campus regular classes. Think about making this Manaus operation a learning center for distance learning. So, I mean, that will bring a lot of dilution as well. So, we have to combine all these things. Growth, student-based growth, margin, new products, brand, and everything else. When you put all those things together, you get to this 25% IRR.
Great. Makes sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Marcelo Santos from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking the question again. I just want a clarification on something that was discussed in Portuguese call regarding the sale of portfolio that you did in the past and stopped doing now. I just wanted to understand how much in the second quarter of 2013 it impacted the P&L. Was it like the nine million reais that you mentioned, or this was that's what I wanted to understand better.
Marcelo, in 2013, the total impact in our results of the sale of our accounts receivable was close to 9 million reais.
Okay, thank you. And in just another quick question in the case of the acquisition you made, would it be possible to share the average ticket or in what range it lies, please?
Not yet. I mean, we're going to do that later on as we organize the information. Right now, we are very much focusing on making a good transition. A lot of our people is there, talking to people there. So let's wait a little bit and then give all this information. For now, keep this 25% IRR in mind. That's the most important number.
And just to add something here, Marcelo, if you take take a look at the website and the ticket prices, for Literatus, very close cost by cost as we have in the average in Estácio. They are very concentrated in technological programs, so the total average maybe is a little bit lower, but cost program by program is very close to what we have as an average in Brazil, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Rogério Melzi for his final remarks.
Thank you everyone for participating in our call. Here at Estácio, we keep very enthusiastic about what is going on here, both in terms of demand, as evidenced by the number of applicants we had this semester, and also in terms of our own capabilities to keep growing our revenues, to keep expanding our EBITDA margins, net income, and also cash flow. I think the numbers and all the projections we have for the second semester are really promising, and I think that we're going to deliver a wonderful result once again as we get ready or starting to get ready to another good year in 2015. So our IR team, Virgilio and myself, will be here available for you and hope to see all of you very soon. Thank you. Have a good day.
This concludes this Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.